Good morning, bows and bow ties. I know it's been a minute. So, you know, I am a fan of the TikTok. And I usually watch TikTok right before I go to bed and then maybe a few minutes in the morning. I didn't get a chance to today. Surprisingly, I slept through the night. And I don't typically do that. So, where am I going with this? I just want to talk about some of the things that I've learned from watching Little House on the Prairie. For those of you who are new to my channel, I am the Black opinionated woman, also known as a beau. So, if you're coming to this channel, you're not getting hard research, right? I don't have cycles for that. So, I give my opinion on stuff. My hair clip is not holding my hair right. I look like I have old lady hair today. Anyway, so I give my opinion on whatever I want, basically. So why am I talking about Little House on the Prairie? Well, there was something that prompted me to revisit Little House on the Prairie because of a conversation I had at work. Okay. And I did not realize that Little House on the Prairie was actually, if I remember correctly, was set in South Dakota. Now, when I was young, this show came out before I was born. I believe it first aired in 1972, okay? But I remember watching Little House on the Prairie as a child. So clearly I was getting stuff in syndication. I was born in 1976. So I believe this show had a 9-year run. So with that being said, I know it's like, why is she, just get to the point. You know, I went back and found some clips on TikTok, you know, oddly enough, before I found other clips online. And it was basically, I believe, set in the 1870s. I think that was the setting for the show. And it was all about what was life on, you know, out in the Midwest, the Great Plains, like, as a, you know, a family settled in where they settled and all that kind of stuff. But you know, that show, even though it was a show in the 1970s and 80s, about the 1800s, late 1800s, you know, I watched that show and I enjoyed that show. I learned back then things. And now when I look at what's like, I go back and I rewatch these clips. I look at the messaging they tried to send us. Some of it is kind of like, obviously, it wasn't caught up with the times. So maybe the language has to change or whatever. I looked at how if they wanted to convey beauty, they don't do it loud the way it's done today. If they want to show that someone is beautiful, they will just adorn them appropriately based on the time period, of course. And that's that. And they'll do it consistently. They're not going to beat you in the head with it, right? Like as far as what they do today. It's not exaggerated. It was simple. So now, granted, the messaging back then was beautiful was blonde hair, blue eyes, right? So the people that they would bring on to the show or whatever like that were young ladies who have blonde hair, blue eyes, and they also, for whatever reasons, made them seem really evil. But when I think about when they wrote shows, they were so purposeful. So one of my favorite characters back then was Nellie. She was the shadiest, meanest little girl. And then what was interesting about Nellie was there was like a redemptive arc. Okay, so towards the end of the series, you know, redemptive qualities. Her and Laura Ingalls became friends. They showed how even some of the even evilest people or most evil people need love. It showed the humanity of people. When they saw a group of people encounter sickness, you know, such as like the scarlet fever. And then when I look at what they did with that show, when they showed how people, how they handled injustice, whether it was back then we used the word Indian, today we use the word Native, words Native American or Native. They showed what that was like when people saw something that was wrong. They showed community, right? Like, hey, this is what's going on. I think one of the, I remember there was a scene where the man who owned, I think he owned the general store. So Charles Ingalls comes in with a watch from his father. And he wanted to sell this watch. I don't know what it was worth, but apparently it was worth, you know, some coin. And Charles was going through a really hard time. I mean, like, he just wasn't coinked up. He wasn't coinked up. He wasn't what some of you whacked out weirdos out there would say, a high-value man, because he wasn't coinked up. Although everything about who he was pointed to a man of substance, right? He was very high-value. So the guy who owned the general store takes the watch, and he is baffled. Not baffled. He's not confused. He was taken aback, like, I cannot take your father's watch. And Charles Ingalls was like, you know, he had to humble himself for his family, see? Because at that moment, it was all about taking care of his family. And he had to sell something that meant so much to him, his father's watch. I can't remember if his father had passed away or not. So the general store guy or whatever, apparently, I guess he gives him money for the watch, but he overinflates how much it's worth. He's like, so if it, I'm just making up numbers, if it was worth $5, he gave him $9. Like, he's like, well, I can't take it for anything less than $9 or whatever, because he did not want to take this man's watch. He knew what it meant to Charles, this pocket watch or whatever it was. And he just didn't want to take it. But you know what? Instead of making him feel bad, like, he wanted this man to have his dignity. And I think Charles saw it for what it was. Like, this man is trying not to embarrass me. They showed what Mean Girl looked like on that show. Nellie was the perfect mean girl. Some of the stuff that she did when I look back was funny. I'm like, this is a shady PITC page. I don't want to cuss on my channel, but... but I think what I liked about that show, which is so different from today, was they showed what it was like as a family. They showed it with community. They showed what it was like to face hardship. And there was a redemptive arc to, you know, the story. When you look at what's happening today, there is no redemption. There is no community, right? So there's no redemption. And when you look at what we create, we create these shows that tear each other down, and there's no redemption in the end. Because there's no community, there's no love for each other, there's no sense of overall good or morality. Back then, if you look at what these communities back in the Midwest or the Great Plains, they believed in Jesus, they had a higher power. They had all that good stuff. So they had like a code for how they needed to move, how they were going to operate within the community. Today, we are so far away from God. There is no unifying thing. There is no community. If you look back just 50 years or 100 years, the Black community meant to, I mean, with the Black church meant to the community, we were always getting together, Fish Fry or whatever. There were like tons of church programs and the things that we would do in a community. We were a community. We had the grandmothers and the aunties and everybody else, or friends of so-and-so, which was like another auntie looking after the children. I remember when I was growing up, and I grew up really dysfunctional, but I was roaming the neighborhood. And it was nothing for somebody's parent or grandparent, whatever, to tell me to come in and eat some smothered pork chops because they thought I was just too thin. It was telling me things like, did you get your schoolwork done? I'm like, yes. They, what are you doing out here? And I'm like, I don't know, just playing. And they'll always say, you better not get in trouble, but they said that to everybody. Today, our beauty is everything is so fake, and everyone looks the same. I don't know. I just felt like when I was looking at the clips of Little House on the Prairie, and every clip I was looking at was the long clips. They were long clips so I can get the context of what was happening. And I was like, you know, we don't tell stories today like we did back then. I think with AI coming on board, I'm sure, well, I don't know what came out of the writer's strike. I did not review the terms of the deal. But I'm sure with the invent of AI, they're going to write great stories, but I don't know if they're going to write stories that have this really great human element. I don't really expect people to get where I'm going with this Little House on the Prairie reference, but the show was a really good show. It had such a long run. I mean, you had Lara and Nelly fighting. I mean, that Nelly, some of the clips from Nelly were so shady and so funny. Even my daughter was laughing. I was like, look at this, look at Nelly. Your father smells like a mule. And she's like, my father works hard. She's like, so do mules. I was like, you know. She's like, you take that back, Nelly. It's like, I will not. Oh my gosh, you guys just have to be there to appreciate it. But Charles, he was a man's man. He took care of family. He took care of the community. They were a community. And they took care of each other. You know, when he wanted to take his wife on vacation, they had the community look after the girls. I was like, you know, we don't have anything like that these days. We don't care about each other. We don't love each other. There's nothing redemptive about anything. Our shows suck. This is the reason why I just cannot get into the Real Housewives of Atlanta or Potomac or Married to Medicine. I just can't. They're just so mean to each other. There's no sisterhood. There's no womanhood. Like, well, everybody goes through various stages of womanhood, but there's no sisterhood on these shows. Even the so-called matriarchs are the worst ones. These people are bereft of any sort of humanity. I mean, they talk to each other like trash. They're not mentoring the young ones. Why do you think you can have somebody like a Candace Dillard on The Real Housewives of Potomac or some of these other ladies out here? And it's like, and you can't say anything because everybody's going to start crying colorism. Well, I'm saying it. Whatever. Anyway, so I don't know. I would love to see more shows that had some sort of humanity in it. You know what show closely, in my opinion, when I look back in the 90s, I feel like one of the best shows, besides like The Cosby Show and A Different World and stuff like that, you know what show I enjoyed immensely? Roseanne. Now, I know she's a little bit of a wackadoodle today, but that show, when you look back at the things they talked about and the love they have for each other, and I just feel like we don't have shows like that anymore. We don't have hardly any real sitcoms. Our shows are a lot about comedy and maybe breaking the fourth wall, such as like Abbott Elementary, which I do like the show whenever I get a chance to watch on television, right? Abbott Elementary is fine. We have a lot of reality television shows. But we don't have shows that have a redemptive arc to it, like A Little House on the Prairie. We don't have shows that show any humanity, any community, anything. I think the show like Roseanne at least said, okay, we're going to talk about real issues, but we're going to still show humanity. I mean, show humanity. We're going to show community. I can't talk this morning. We're going to show community. We're going to show family. We're going to show some triumph. And triumph doesn't have to look magnanimous, right? It might be something small. It could be, you know what? We saved our house. we saved our house. Or, oh my goodness, maybe our children can go start off at the community college. It could be any of those things. We don't have that strength. What we have is people like Dr. Heavenly from Barrington Medicine getting online, justifying how she's going to get the people what they want. Talking bad about everybody. Instead of being the matriarch and bringing, like, she's feeding this negative engine. It's what the people want. Sometimes you got to curate what people want. So I think about how when I look at my TikTok feed, y'all want to leave me alone because I enjoy TikTok. I curated my content. I don't get as much of the angry Black women content anymore. Some of that still shows up is because I like to follow Black women, but the same token that comes with that is a lot of these women are angry, so they want to bash relationships, bash marriages. They want to talk. They're just in a bad place, and they talk about it over and over and over. But a lot of my feed that I curate has to do with lions and cubs in the wild. right now I'm on Little House on the Prairie TikTok, but I get a lot of ballet TikTok for some reason. I've enjoyed it. I'm trying to think what else is in my feed. It's a lot of the same things, but I curated certain things because I don't want to be bombarded with a bunch of angry Black women telling me about how all Black men are equal. Now, there's a difference between pointing out shenanigans, right? Because there's a lot of shenanigans going on. But if all of the content is about why Black men are these horrible people, there's a lot of foolish ones out there. I'm just kind of like, well, what else do you have to talk about? What else is going on? All right. That was just a little off the top of my head, thinking about Little House on the Prairie. And let me know your thoughts.